coming up on The Source. What does it take to be banned from City Hall? How can the city tell a local, law-abiding resident that they would be arrested if they showed up at a city council meeting? It's happened at least twice in San Antonio. John Fodderill and Michael Cuellar both have been declared personas non grata.
We are persistent, but when they take away your right to go before city council, and then when they tell your elected officials, don't talk to this person, then what recourse do you have?
That they can do it to us, they can do it to anybody. And that should concern every San Antonian, that their local government has the audacity, that's really what it is, the audacity to even attempt such a thing.
Does the city have the power to bar San Antonio residents from City Hall and City Council? What is the process? Is there a means of appeal? Well, the city isn't talking, but we are on The Source. But first, the news. This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The public square is the cornerstone of democracy. The concept is anyone can hop on a metaphorical soapbox and air their grievances about the government. But what does it take to be banned from the public square in San Antonio? It's happening to two local residents. They're being shunned by their elected representatives. John Fodderill and Michael Cuellar are two separate cases, but with some interesting common factors. Both are former city employees who say that while on the job, they found evidence of fraud or waste in city government. They were both dismissed, and then later, when they protested, they were told they were not allowed to go to City Hall or to the city council chambers to attend city council meetings. We're going to hear from both of these men, but who we're not going to hear from is the city. I reached out repeatedly to the city communications department and the city attorney's office asking for reaction, comment, or an explanation. I received no response. I did hear back from District 1 Councilman Diego Bernal, who would not go on the record or go on the air to discuss the issue. But he did say on the record that he was concerned about the lack of due process for the city council bans and that he would look into that. I also checked with the San Antonio Police Department, which issued with the city attorney's office the official ban, and I got this statement. A criminal trespass warning letter can be issued in direct response to a threat, threatening behavior, and or harassment wherein repeated contacts by an individual are made, thus creating an environment of fear. Criminal trespass warning letters are typically issued when the behaviors previously mentioned are clear and obvious. That's from Police Chief William McManus. But we were not told what the clear and obvious behavior issues are for Fodderill and Cuellar, and it does seem like the standard for banning people from attending city council meetings should be higher than that. We would like to have the city go on the record and go on the air about this topic, and our invitation to their participation remains open. And without the city's participation, there is no counterweight to the claims made by Fodderill and Cuellar on this program. Okay, so that said, let's get on with the interview. John Fodderill, Michael Cuellar, welcome to The Source. Thank you both for being in here. So let me ask John first. You, former city employee, tell me about the job that you had and how you were, became to be no longer a city employee.
I was hired as the city's telecommunication manager in August of 2004. And my main responsibilities was all the city's telecom infrastructure, contracts, employees, cell phones, pagers, 911, billing.
So there's a lot of money involved in flowing around in this.
Yeah, tens of millions of dollars a year flowing in and flowing out.
And so what I've seen from what's been written about you before in a documentation you sent me is that you uncovered that you suspected that there was a slush fund in that area which was being used to other departments were dipping into without, you know, supervision to pay for things that they needed in their departments.
Yes. When I was made Employee of the Month in February of 2005, being only there a few months, one of the things I said during my interview was I was doing an audit to find out where I stood. And it was actually that audit where I uncovered the fact that I didn't have any money or any staff because tens of millions of dollars was being siphoned out of telephone accounts for other than their intended purpose.
Both, like office furniture?
Travel, office furniture, renovations, anytime somebody in the city needed hundreds of thousands of dollars. Instead of going to city council and doing competitive bids, having a public review, having a vote, and obtaining the money the way you're supposed to,
according to
the local government code and the city charter, they would simply go over to the IT department and say, you know, I need some money. Okay, we'll buy it. We'll take the money out of the telephone accounts, and we'll use some fuzzy accounting to cover the whole thing up.
So we're just going to, I want to cover all this just quickly to kind of establish that you had a record at City Hall, you were working there, you found this thing out, and when you brought it to the attention of the supervisors, not welcome news.
No.
And you were pretty much given your walking papers.
I reported it to the IT director, I reported it to the CIO, and then I reported it to Municipal Integrity Office. And all the while I thought that they were investigating it, but they removed all of our civil service protection and then they terminated me.
Now, and since then you've been on this case trying to, clear your name.
Yes.
And also show that this was happening at City Hall. You've asked for investigations. There have been no investigations that satisfied you, right?
There's really been no investigation. Everybody says we've looked into it and found nothing. But when I come back and say, show me the records that you looked into it or answer this question, is it legal to put extra hours on time reports? Is it legal to spend money this way? I get no answers.
I mean, all this is just enough in itself. We could just spend hours just talking about that and picking this apart. But really what we want to get to is how this is the background that led to you becoming basically branded a persona non grata at City Hall, and your rights of a resident of San Antonio being able to be present for city council meetings, public hearings, being able to speak out as citizens to be heard, taken away from you without due process.
Exactly.
So let's get to that point. So you were ejected from your job. You began a campaign. You would email or snail mail city officials trying to get some sort of justice, and you just became basically a professional irritant to City Hall, right?
Well, that really happened after I was banned. I had a trial 3 years after they terminated me, a whistleblower trial. So I really laid low for 3 years. At that trial, everything was supposed to come out, but the city put on a little skit for the jury and the courts saying nothing was illegal, everything was just great. So what I did was I collected affidavits and collected courtroom documents, and I just presented them to City Hall in June of 2009. Up until that point, I wasn't on a campaign to expose anything. I was depending on the judicial system and the law to actually come to the truth. Well, when I delivered all these documents showing the fraud, a couple of days later I was banned. And it is at that point where I had to resort to actually sending emails and snail mail to all the representatives to try to expose it, because my avenue of seeking remedy was cut off.
Let's move over to Mr. Cuellar. Michael, so you worked for the fire department. You weren't a fireman. You were like an administrative part
of it. Yes, I was a contracts coordinator. I started in August of 2011. Went permanent. Started as a temporary in August 2011. Went permanent in December 2012. And departed from the fire department in February 2012. Went permanent December 2011, departed February 2012.
And you've also filed a number of Freedom of Information Act requests to the city about how they conduct business. And
correct.
You see in your business, in your previous job as overseeing the contracts, you've noticed that there was a lot of waste as well.
Well, I noticed there was a lot of waste, and I tried to address some of it directly while I was currently employed. And what really led to my criminal trespass notice was I was inquiring about things that I was told about that I wasn't privy to directly. That was conveyed to another person, basically hearsay. But I was checking into them via open records request. So I departed in February 2012. I started submitting open records requests in June, and I believe the open records request that triggered my criminal trespass notice was the one I submitted on August 20th. That concerned issues of paying certain employees not even working like they're supposed to be working, to contract issues. There was a host of issues I was told about that were going on at the fire department by certain staff that I was checking into.
But there was one case which made the news
Correct.
At the end of the year, which was a city ethics violation case. And we had the city employees who allegedly received free or discounted rooms at the Grand Hyatt Hotel mm-hmm. for giving away suites to the Alamo Dome. They found that they were violated the city's code, but there was no criminal investigation. And you filed a complaint, right?
Correct, yes.
And then there was a hearing, and it found out that you were actually correct. Mm-hmm. And that there should have been a criminal investigation.
And I brought that. That's important to point out because I brought that to the attention of both the DA's office and also the city's attorney's office. And the city attorney basically said they can't initiate something until the county initiates something. The county basically, I basically got the runaround. Each office directed me to the other office. So they couldn't take any action until one office initiates some action.
So the ruling that found that you were correct in saying there should have been a criminal investigation into this, you see as vindication that, you know, you're adding something important to the public square, to the dialogue.
Correct.
That City Hall is not really capable of policing itself, and that we need outside voices saying, you know, this is a criminal thing and needs to be looked at.
Correct.
So let's talk about how y'all got banned. Now, John, when you say we're banned from City Hall, what does that mean? What can you not do and why not? What would happen to you if you showed up at City Hall?
The actual written document says under threat of arrest for some penal code. So
it'd be a criminal trespass.
Downtown, yeah, it's a criminal trespass. You can go down there, you can get arrested and jailed.
And fined.
Yes.
And spend time in jail.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And what's really important to point out, too, is that two of the primary buildings that John and I are both banned from are City Hall and Municipal Plaza Building, which is the building which City Council Chambers is held, which means that we can't attend any City Council meetings.
So, and you can't participate in Citizens to be Heard.
Correct. The civic process, correct.
You are listening to The Source on KSTX. John Fodderow and Michael Cuellar say their rights are being violated by the City of San Antonio, banning them from City Hall and City Council. They also say they have evidence of systematic fraud and waste in city government. We're going to hear the rest of their story after the break. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. John Fodderow and Michael Cuellar are officially banned from the San Antonio City Hall and City Council meetings. They say their rights are being violated, that there's no due process in the banning, and they have no means of appeal. Now, John, I mean, how do we know that you were actually banned? Is there a document that shows that you can't do this?
Yes. My wife and I went downtown in the last few days of June 2009 to deliver some documents, and we met with some elected officials, staff, and we made some appointments to meet with our elected officials concerning what didn't come out during this whistleblower trial. And we thought there was no problem. We had scheduled some meetings. A couple of days later, two policemen came to my house and hand-delivered a criminal trespass warning saying that under threat of arrest, I was not allowed in a city hall, city council meetings, and some other buildings inside the city. I asked them why. They could provide no reason why or any recourse or any hearing. I could get no information at all. They said, we're just supposed to deliver this to you.
Well, that's another interesting thing about the process. It's interesting that there are officials at City Hall who can suddenly, with the stroke of a pen, ban two citizens that we have here without any sort of pre-notification, without a hearing, and without the opportunity to object or even appeal, or we don't know how long this is forever?
And that's one of the things I directly asked. Immediately upon receiving my letter, what I did is I tried to reach out to the officer who provided a card when he provided the letter he delivered to my mailing address. When I received it, I contacted the officer directed me to the city attorney's office. I contacted the city attorney's office, and I asked him specifically three things. What is the cause of the exclusion, meaning why am I receiving this letter? What is the duration, how long? And three, do you have an appeals process? Today, I haven't gotten no response. I've addressed directly to the city attorney's office that question, the city attorney's office, to Ms. Scully, to all council people, and only one council person has responded, and he's directed Cheryl Scully and Mike Bernard to provide me a response. That was in late October, and to date, I haven't received a response from the city.
Well, why haven't you challenged this in the courts? Why hasn't the ACLU come to your rescue?
We've both sent information to quite a few civic groups. The ACLU, a lot of the Texas Civil Rights Project, and other places saying, look, we need help with this. I've gone to an attorney that's got an office right across the street here, and he told me I need $100,000 to file a lawsuit in federal court, which sort of makes the impression on average citizens is that only the rich have civil rights in this country. If you don't have any money, you don't have any civil rights, which is not what America is all about.
One of the groups we have reached out to is the Texas Civil Rights Project. They've turned down John, but they have, and in the article that was in the Current, they expressed that they weren't going to take the case. I contacted them post that article, and they've responded by saying that they are willing to look into the case and actually want to meet with me. So we'll be meeting over the next couple of weeks to discuss moving forward with my case.
There was a case in Austin during the Occupy movement,
correct,
where the occupiers were banned from being at City Hall, mm-hmm, and then the court ruled that they could not just outright ban these people from City Hall. So why does that apply here?
I agree. That's when I first discovered that case. It was probably late September that I discovered that Austin case. I immediately sent that court case to the city of San Antonio asking them, does this apply? I believe it does. If so, please remove my ban. They did not respond in any way, did not comment in any way. I even asked them, if you have no comment, simply say no comment. I won't contact you any further. You know, they didn't respond to that line of questioning at all.
It seems to me like this is something that everyone in San Antonio should be aware of and should have some sort of an opinion about, because what's to prevent City Hall from banning other people that they don't like?
Correct.
I mean, you guys haven't been arrested for any violent crimes. Correct. I know, John, you've been accused of adopting like scorched earth type, mm-hmm, tactics with people, very aggressive emailing and letter writing and name calling, kind of rude. You don't seem that way right now, but, you know, it seemed like there has been a coordinated campaign to try and brand you as kind of an irrational individual.
I've got actual Facebook accounts where City Councilman Bernal here and his group of supporters call me a nutcase, crazy, paranoid, and different things.
And specifically, it's Bernal who's amazing.
Yeah, and I've asked people, you know, show me one email or one letter where I'm rude, or I'm attacking you personally, or I'm threatening you, or I'm acting like a crazy person. All my emails, all my documentation is just simply stating the facts. We are persistent, but when they take away your right to go before city council, and then when they tell your elected officials, don't talk to this person or don't talk to anybody about these crimes, then what recourse do you have other than just to go ahead and send the information through emails and letters?
What's really disturbing about John's case is that what John is basically raising to the public's attention is the issue of possible fraud, waste, and abuse. And my reasoning is, I guess you could say, is that the typical average citizen, that's the only thing they're really concerned about in their government, is fraud, waste, and abuse. So the city is essentially implicitly conveying the message that the public doesn't have a right to engage their local leaders regarding these issues, that when it comes to fraud, waste, and abuse, that they try to handle it internally and instead of making it known to the public. And when, like I said, the average citizen only wants to know about those three things unless it specifically applies to something like specific to their to themselves, like a residential issue, a zoning issue, etc. But typically, the average citizen wants to know about fraud, waste, and abuse. And the city is implicitly telling the community, you should not ask about these things. They are not they're not your concern. We handle them internally, which goes against the spirit and nature of our very system.
Why haven't you just gone to City Hall and told them to arrest you?
I've considered that. I've actually considered that. I thought about doing that. And I guess I should also mention, too, I filed an ethics complaint with the city of San Antonio, but I've also filed ethics complaints with the ICMA, which is the governing body that handles – it's the International City Managers Association, which governs basically all public administrators. And one of the things that I told the ICMA was that I am considering doing that, going to City Hall, making a public appearance as a protest measure to basically –
I mean, you could call attention. All the TV cameras.
Correct.
And say, I am going to be here. I'm going to do this.
Correct.
I'm going to challenge this ban and see if they actually try to arrest you. And once they do arrest you, mm-hmm, then it would be easier for, Texas Rural Legal Aid or someone else to come to your side and say, we will defend you.
And I've considered that, but I weigh the risk of having to pay the attorney's fees and any type of, you know, fees associated with any fines associated with being arrested versus the likelihood of someone actually coming to my aid. So that's the decision-making process I went through. But I did consider it. One of my first ideas I had, go to court, get arrested. I even thought about taking, servicemen with me, because to me, this is an American issue. You know, it's a constitutional issue. So especially at a time of war, you cannot deny the average citizen some basic constitutional rights at a time of war. It's sort of a smack in the face to every serviceman, not only to the average citizen, but to the average serviceman who's over there fighting and dying for people, for these basic fundamental rights.
So is this a tactic that other cities do? Is this something unique to San Antonio? Have you heard this happening elsewhere?
No, I haven't heard it happening any other place except the city of Austin. Well, excuse me, no, that's not true. I heard it happening to one other local government agency in Texas. I can't remember the name specifically, but it happened. A sheriff's department, I think, did it to someone who they wanted to leave their offices. But other than that specific case, I can't remember the actual jurisdiction. I don't remember hearing it any other place.
But there are other cases in Texas. There's a current case in El Paso where there was a TxDOT grant being abused by city policemen padding their time reports, taking money out of this grant. It was reported. They did an investigation on the one person, and now they've got like 17 cops under indictment for fraud. And the city is looking at how much money we have to reimburse TxDOT for misusing their money. This is how the process is supposed to work. This is what should have happened here in San Antonio. But it's circumvented. They circumvent all the laws. They circumvent all the stopgap measures we have and all the safeguards. So, you know, it's clear cut. This is what you're supposed to do. It's not like they don't know.
Being banned from City Hall and from the city council chambers, not being able to participate in city government, that's just really the heart of what I'm trying to relay, that this is happening. It happened in San Antonio without a due process, an open process, and without means of appeal. And so right now you two are basically in limbo without means to even appeal because you're not allowed to contact city officials and make a case for yourself.
Correct. I think the reason why the average San Antonian should care about this issue is, I heard Winston Churchill say something once, and it applies in this case, and is that you cannot stand by and let one person be stripped of their rights without someday coming home to you. And that's really what's at the heart of this issue, is that, like what was stated earlier, is that they can do it to us, they can do it to anybody. And that should concern every San Antonian, that their local government has the audacity, and that's really what it is, the audacity to even attempt such a thing. Because it is outrageous that they even try to do it, let alone that they do it, but they even try to do it, and in fact that they're even trying to get away with it.
John Fodderell and Michael Cuellar are officially banned from the San Antonio City Hall and City Council meetings. They say their rights are being violated, and they have evidence of systematic fraud and waste in city government. I made repeated efforts to include the city attorney, Michael Bernard, in this broadcast. His office would not respond. Also, the city communications office did not respond to questions or invitations to participate in this program. You have been listening to The Source on KSTX. Chris Udaly is our web producer. You can check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.